Buongiorno. Come sir. Sorry, I was a couple of seconds late there. I had to draw a pussycat and an owl before I came on the stage. My granddaughter needed a pussycat and an owl to draw. I'd like to concur what Kirby Burton was saying there, that we're very thankful to the Italian brethren for looking after us in this festival site, a really beautiful festival site, one of the best we've been to. Lovely warm water, the children love the water. The English ministers can't understand why we leave Scotland and England to come abroad to France and Italy and warmer climes, Portugal. It's because the water in Scotland is very, very cold. You go in, you don't come out red, you come out blue. So I'm very thankful to the brethren in Italy for laying on such a lovely festival site for us and all the work they put in. And we thank you for Carmelo. I went into my room just before services there, and there's a nice bottle of spirit, Italian spirit, that I'll enjoy with some of the brethren before we go. I've never tasted that spirit. I don't know if it's good as Scotch whiskey, but we'll have a good go at it. A Scots will drink anything that's got spirit in it. That's what this talk about, de-scotching the Scotch. Scotch in the rocks. Okay, Michello Casso, if that's the right pronunciation, Michello Casso, is that right? He was explaining the history of the Roman Empire this morning and how the Romans conquered the most of Europe and Jerusalem, Middle East. They were great conquerors. Then they came to Scotland. And of course, the Romans were after our whiskey. So we were so enraged, they had to build two walls to contain us. The Roman Empire had to be protected from the Scots because we were raided over the border for food and other things. So I'm one of the reject Scots. I'm not a brave Scot. I'm one that bubbles a lot. Last year at the feast in France, it was I started something that all the ministers followed from that point, and it was having a wee bubble. In other words, tears. And I had all the ladies on my side, but the men were saying, brave up, brave up. In fact, someone told me I should have a wee whiskey before I come up here to stop me peeking. So if I do peek, it's just I've been overcome with spirit, hopefully. Not whiskey. We're not allowed to drink before sermons. Okay. I'm here with my wife, and there's seven adults here and six grandchildren, and that's half of the clan. So we're very similar to the Sicilians, because the Sicilians, like the Scots, are short. You can see Carmelo. He stands on a box. I'm standing on a box. And Angelo stands on a box. So it makes us nearer to the microphone. So we've got three things in common. We have clans. The Sicilians have clans. The Scots have clans. We have big families. We breed a lot. And we are men that mostly are short. And the last time I was on this podium, standing here, when I finished the sermon, I forgot I was standing on something and I fell off. So pride in the Scots goes before a fall. I better watch what I say. Some of the things I should... I usually get a row from my wife and daughters for saying too much, so I better watch what I'm saying. So I'll cut out some of the X factor. I had to learn some Italian before I came up here because it fits in with the title of the sermon. If you like a title, it's called The Crown. It's called The Crown. Our monarch has a coat of arms that's actually biblical. And one day I'll do a sermon on the biblical background of the Queen of Great Britain. She's not the Queen of England because she's half Scottish. So she's really the Queen of Scotland more than the Queen of England because she's got German blood and other bloods in her. But we're very possessive of our royalty and our crown. So underneath the coat of arms is the French, and I'm not allowed to say it because my son-in-law is French, and I never get the French pronunciation properly. But in English, it means God and my right. Now, here's Italian. Dio alla mia destra. Does it sound okay? Dio alla mia destra. Now, Carmelo sorted me out with this, and he says it's the right way to say it. Just say it as it is spelt. So that's what is underneath the crown of the coat of arms of the crown. Now, let's turn to Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Now, Carmela Anastasi asked us for inspiring sermons for this Italian feast 2018. Some movies or films inspire, such as the Ten Commandments. How many have seen the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston, Moses, Yul Brynner, The Pharaoh. Beautiful film. I was inspired at 13 years old, and I went to see the Ten Commandments three times. I even started going to church after seeing the Ten Commandments. But the minister insulted me. When I was 13, he says I looked like 11, and I didn't go back to church. Another inspiring movie is The King's Speech. Anybody seen this King's Speech? Very beautiful, well done. Colin Firth got an Oscar for his portrayal of George VI, and that's the father of our present Queen. In July this year, we were inspired again when our eldest daughter showed us a 14-part series called The Queen. No, sorry, The Crown. The Crown. Our sermon title today. It is a story of our British monarch, Queen Elizabeth, and her life from a young woman who, like her father before her, did not want the job of the crown. Her father didn't want the job, and she didn't want the job, but it just came to her. Yet God had chosen her to fulfill his promise to King David and Judah. And this is where Jeremiah 33, verse 14 comes in. Let's read Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Let's go down to verse 17 now. Just cut some of this out. For thus says the Lord, or the Eternal, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, David shall never lack for a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Very powerful words. Let's go down to verse 20, 21. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so there will not be a day and a night, so that there will not be day or night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne. And we can basically stop there, because it's also with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So here's a promise to not only to David, for him always to have a royal lineage. And in at home, I've got the royal lineage from Adam and Eve right through to the present queen. Now, nobody else has got. The emperor of Japan hasn't got a lineage like that, but our queen has. So it shows you how God is powerful enough to make his will be done on earth. Genesis 49, verse 10. Let's go to Genesis 49, verse 10. Great promise to Judah. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Shiloh is a Hebrew word for to whom it belongs. So we know that Jesus Christ is coming to an existing throne. Yes, he's coming to an existing throne, one that's on the earth at this time. So let's see how we can be inspired to be faithful and wise stewards, serving the crown, as Queen Elizabeth has for 65 years, so that we don't neglect our high calling to serve an even greater crown set before us by our God and our right. Let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And we're going to look at Luke. At Luke sounds like poetry. Look at Luke. Luke 12, verse 42. Jesus Christ, our monarch, gives us two simple points for Christian stewardship. Now, Christian stewardship is our apprenticeship to be royalty of a new world tomorrow at Jesus' second coming, to rule this earth from the stone of destiny. And it's the same stone of destiny that Queen was anointed on in 1953. Luke 12, verse 43, we'll just read that. 42. Luke 12, 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them portion of food in due season? So we've got to be stewards. We all know that we're stewards, serving our monarch, Jesus Christ, but we've got to be faithful and wise stewards. So that's our two points. We need to be faithful stewards, humbly serving our master's godly crown. At 25 years old, our Queen Elizabeth was anointed with chrism oil. That's the type of oil they anoint with on the monarchs. As she sat on the stone of destiny, and by the way, the stone of destiny is a Scottish stone. The English have had decency to give us it back in 96. They gave the stone back to Edinburgh Castle. If you come to the feast in Scotland, you can go to see it in Edinburgh Castle. So she was anointed on the Stone of Destiny in 1953, an anointed and crowned monarch of the UK, as many of the kings and queens were right back to King David of Israel. Elizabeth's grandmother, Queen Mary, that's the German wife of George V, who was the first Windsor, because the present queen is of the House of Windsor. So this was the first Windsor, because their name was a German name before that, and they changed it to Windsor. So George V was the first Windsor. In the film, The Crown, the grandmother, Queen Mary, gives wise advice to Elizabeth to faithfully or loyally serve the crown and put the crown foremost in her life, to serve humbly the office, the job, the crown given her by the Almighty. Let's turn to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, because we, like the Queen, are being given a job to do. We've been given an office to do, to fulfill. So really, her job title is similar to our job title as saints or the elect of God. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For exaltation or promotion, for exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. So which one is missing? The north. The eternal lives in heaven towards the north. So understanding this, for exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And that's basically what the eternal God did to our queen, Queen Elizabeth. He exalted her to be monarch. Our royal stewardship starts with this right, humble, faithful priority. And we know we shouldn't have to turn to Matthew 6, verse 33, but let's turn there, because I thought this is a split sermon, so I've got a wee bit extra time. I didn't know that, so we can turn there. So Matthew 6, 33 is a very famous one in the church. But seek first the kingdom of God, or the crown of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Of course, that's so important for all of us to keep as a daily priority. The crown has to come first. Like with Queen Elizabeth, the crown has to come first. Our job title has got to come first. But why? Why is it important that the crown should come first? Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. And we're going to read verse 17. King Saul was the first mortal king of Israel. He started out in a humble faithful stewardship to God's crown. Look, verse 17. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" And we all know that he did accept that first, as first king of the mortal king of Israel, because Jesus Christ was the king before him. But let's look at verse 12. Verse 12. So when Samuel, the prophet, rose up early in the morning to meet King Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went into Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. So here was Samuel setting up a statue or a monument for himself. Absalom later would do the very same thing. And this was the problem that happened to Saul. He had replaced humble, faithful, loyal service with pride, with vanity. Vanity had replaced the humble, faithful, loyal service. So pride caused him to forget God, who gave him the crown in the first place. No longer was God's crown first in his life. Let's read verse 24. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Unwisely, now the people were first. Why? The vanity, the pride of Saul had entered his heart. And just like Satan, Lucifer, pride and vanity exalted him. And he got one third of the angels to go follow him in rebellion. And same with Saul. Adulation from the people had turned away his faithfulness to the crown. First Samuel 13, verse 13. First Samuel 13, verse 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, this is from a previous foolish thing that Saul had done. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded. So you see that Saul, vanity, pride, listening to the people, the adulation from the people, turned his head from the job, from the office. And instead of exalting God the Father and Jesus Christ, he exalted himself, making a monument for himself. Let's go to Micah, the book of Micah. We're all in an office, and we've got to make sure it's a humble office that we walk in. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Very sound advice for all of us. Loyal or faithful stewardship starts first with walking humbly as stewards with our Creator, who gives us the crown as a job. It's our job. It's God's crown first. Then comes the people, as in the two great commandments. Let's go to the two great commandments found in Mark 12, verse 29. Mark 12:29. Remember, Jesus was asked, let's read 28. Then one of the scribes came to him, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? In other words, what's the greatest of all the commandments in the Bible? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. And do we realize that we are Israel? Galatians 6 tells us that we are spiritual Israel, and we of all people Jesus Christ is speaking to, especially today. We are gathered here as the elect, as the saints, and we are the spiritual Israel that must listen. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first great commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And that's what Jesus is telling us. We've got to put the crown of God the Father. God the Father has given us a crown, and we've got to put that crown first in our lives. It's the most important thing we can do, because it's keeping this greatest of commandments. Okay, let's go back to Luke 12, verse 42, for the second point that Jesus has given us. Back to Luke. Luke 12, verse 42. So it says here, we've got to be faithful. We've covered that. Faithful or loyal is the same meaning. But we've also got to be wise stewards. Wise stewards. Wise, faithful stewards. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus again shows us something that we can apply in our life to be wise, faithful stewards. Matthew 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, 16. He tells us to be wise as a serpent, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's 10, 16. 10 verse 16, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Mark. So, sorry. I turned to Mark. It just shows you I'm like the Pope. I'm fallible. Mark 10 verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves. This was Jesus telling the apostles to go out. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The Crown film series in 14 episodes shows wise as a serpent, Queen Elizabeth, seeking wise counsel from her courtiers and even prime ministers like Winston Churchill. Let's turn to Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Wise stewards need wise decision-making. Queen Elizabeth and King David prayed first to God for wisdom before doing anything. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 23 and see how David did things. 1 Samuel. First Samuel 23, 1 to 4. 1 Samuel 23, 1 to 4. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floor." Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men, now remember, Saul listened to the people. David didn't listen to the people. But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistine?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." See the difference between Saul and David. Saul was loyal and sought God's counsel. For 13 years, David, as an apprentice royal, counseled with God before major decision-making, as well as his wise counselors. Notice he was not swayed to disloyalty or unfaithfulness like King Saul, who listened to the people first. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. Another good example. Notice David listened in detail. Saul did not listen to God in detail. And we must learn, when we're reading scriptures, listen to God, what God is saying to us in detail. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. It happened after this that David inquired of the Eternal, or the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." And David said, "Where shall I go up?" And David said, "To Hebron," because there he was going to get anointed king of Judah first, and then later on he was anointed king of the whole of Israel. So David listened in detail. One wise courtier or counselor gave Queen Elizabeth, our monarch, 6 negatives he saw concerning her job doing the crown. She turned the 6 negatives into 6 positives for the sake of the crown. It shows a wise, faithful, humble spirit. Now, harmless as a dove, what does that mean? Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 3. The book of Proverbs, 13, verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Maybe that's what happened to Saul, King Saul. In service or stewardship to the crown, Queen Elizabeth's chosen words are our best example as an earthly example to date. Her words are chosen wisely or harmless as a dove. A wise saying tells us a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. It reminds me of 2 separate discussions about 2 years ago. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles. One person at services was for President Trump, and the other one was anti-Trump. The Queen does not get involved in any nation's politics. She keeps her own opinion to herself. So there is no polarization of relationships. Because if we have an opinion, a political opinion, it might not be the same as somebody else's. So all you do is you end up with an argument going on. The Queen, as a constitutional monarch, can talk to anyone without offense, as she keeps her opinion to herself, as we should, as royal steward apprentices. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just to make sure this is biblical, what we're talking about here, being as harmless as a dove. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read what the Apostle Paul tells us from verse 19 to 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, exactly what Queen Elizabeth has done, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being within the law towards God, but under the law towards Christ. Because Christ, remember, keeping the greatest commandments, love towards God, and then love towards people, the proper priorities. That's a law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Here we see how Paul served the crown in a very balanced way. And he became, if anybody, if he was a Jew, he became a Jew. If he was a Gentile, he became a Gentile. So he did not cause any strife. Let's go to Proverbs 18, back to the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs 18, the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Jesus Christ, our wisdom. And we're going to read verse 2. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. We see that a lot in politics today. We'll see it a lot more when the beast comes on the scene. Verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Let's go to verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Again, going back to being a humble servant, a humble, faithful, loyal servant who's wise. Picture in our mind's eye the three wise monkeys. How many of you have seen the three wise monkeys on top of Granny's mantelpiece? Not many people. In Scotland, we've got, my granny had the three wise monkeys, and in it was, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Where was I in my notes? Oh yes, three monkeys. Common sense shows God gave us two ears and two eyes, yet only one tongue to talk half what we see and hear. Don't worry, I've got to remind myself. My wife usually is my conscience. She usually tells me, I think you've said enough. And I say, yes, dear. The Romans couldn't rule over the Scots, but our women rule over us. James 3, verse 8, the book of James. This is Jesus Christ's brother, half-brother. James 3, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verse 13 to 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom, Jesus Christ's wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that we receive from Jesus Christ, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, no favoritism, and without hypocrisy. Let's face it, only one opinion counts, and that's God's opinion. And mankind's politics, religion, new morality are not the way, because we know the way. We are called to live the way through Jesus Christ. So don't get involved in talk, as it's a waste of time. And words, as our Queen knows. We're going to read now James 3, 9 to 11. 3, 9 to 11, the part we missed out. With it we bless our God and Father with the tongue, and with it, that's James 3, verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring, a fountain, a spring, fresh water, send forth fresh water and bitter from the same spring? By keeping our opinion to ourselves, we keep out of being attacked by the politically correct and perverted society controlled by the vocal minority who control the media. I was reading some magazines just recently, and it was showing that some speak out. And sometimes some Christians feel they've got to speak out because of the evils and the double standards and the lies that are going on in today's society. And sadly, some speak out and many lose their jobs and livelihood. It is not wise, as only Jesus can sort out the mess at his return to this earth. Let's go to the book of Proverbs again. This time we're going to Proverbs 8, a great Bible study. If you want a Bible study and you need a Bible study at the Feast of Tabernacles, you can read chapter 8, which is the personification of wisdom in Jesus Christ. Beautiful chapter to read. Proverbs 8, verses 14 to 17. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, queens reign also, and rulers decree justice. By me, wisdom, princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. Did Jesus not say that? I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Could go and continue with that. There's so many words that you can see that it's Jesus Christ speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the personification of God's wisdom for us in our daily life. His heart and mind we need daily to be harmless doves serving the crown. Let's go to back to 1 Peter. Back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And we're going to read from chapter 4, 10 to 11. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. As each one has received a gift, and every single one of us here who are baptized, who have had hands laid upon them, who have received the Holy Spirit, every single one of us has received the gift, because God is not a respecter of persons. As each one has received a gift, minister or do in stewardship. Stewardship, minister, you can actually see in the margin, stewards and ministers are the same thing. As each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are all given gifts to serve the crown, as God is fair to us all. Don't doubt this. Some people can be in the church for a long time, and they're not behind the podium, like some of our ministers are forced to go behind the podium, because it's just a service to the crown. But every single one of us has been given gifts, and we can build the fruits of the Spirit on top of these gifts, as we heard in one of the sermons. So don't doubt that we are given gifts. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind of wisdom, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, got wisdom from God the Father. Now our wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross or the tree. Gifts of power and wisdom come to us through Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit. We can ask for his heart of understanding and wise mind daily. We can ask for it daily. So there's no excuse we don't have understanding to deal with people or wisdom of our mind. When people come to ask us a question, we just ask, please give me the wisdom to answer this question. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:24, which shows clearly that Jesus Christ is our source of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God the Father gives us wisdom through Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes to us through Jesus Christ, as it shows you in Acts chapter 2. Remember our high calling, who we truly are from, our background, and what happened to unfaithful and unwise King Saul. Because if Saul had remembered how humble and small in his own eyes, if he stayed like that, he would have had the dynasty that produced the queen today. But he took his eyes off of God and he put it on himself and on the people. He lost his crown. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, or we can say, for we see our calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That's where we come from. We come from nobodies, but we're going to be royalty in the future. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We are nobodies with no royal blood in our veins. Yet we're chosen to be eternal royalty. And I think that's so hard for us to digest spiritually, that we're called to be eternal royalty, not for the Queen. She might serve another 10 years and maybe die when she's 103 years old, like her mother. But we are going to be eternal royalty. And sometimes I think it's awesome what God has placed before us in a crown. As the bride of Christ, as the queen of all queens, we will be. Because if we are married to Jesus Christ, we will be the, if he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we'll be Queen of Queens. What a title. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, the light that we have in Jesus Christ, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, the saints, the elect, the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Yes, we are not anyone special, not even a nation, but we are apprentice royalty of the new age to come when Jesus Christ reigns on this earth. Let's go to our final scripture in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and it's all about the Philadelphian era of the church, and it has the greatest blessings associated with it. Mr. Armstrong also believed that we were the Philadelphian era, and hopefully not like the Laodicean era. Only 50% of them make it, because 5 are unwise and sleep before Jesus Christ comes. Whereas 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us we must be awake, children of the light, not the children of darkness. Revelation 3, verse 8. God wants humble, faithful, wise stewards who know his crown comes first, then the people come second. Let us serve in Jesus' faithful power, loyal power, and wisdom, so no one takes our crown, as it's our gift, our God, and our right. Let's read now to conclude Revelation 3, verses 8 to 13, because this is a blessing. This is a blessing for faithful, loyal, wise stewardship. It's so important we hold fast to this. Revelation 3, verses 8 to 13. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Revelation 3, verse 8. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, say they are Christians, but are not. You went to the Vatican. That is not spiritual Jews there. There's no spiritual Jews amongst the Catholics or the Protestants. We are spiritual Jews who say they are Jews and are not, but indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. When we are the bride of Christ, people will bow before us because we will be Elohim, Holy Spirit family. Does that not make your hair stand in the back of your neck? Well, it doesn't make my hair stand on the top of my head because I've got none. Beautiful words these. Because you have kept my command to persevere or endure, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So the 3.5 years, tribulation, and the day of the Lord, the 3.5 years altogether, are coming to test all mankind that are upon the face of the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that no one may take your crown. Each one of us here has got a crown, and it's under the crown of Jesus Christ. Hold fast that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of Christ says to the churches. Jesus Christ is saying, we've got a crown, but we've got to hold fast to it. Dio alla mia destra, God and our right. It's our right, so hold fast to it.